We're beginning this series tonight, and certainly hope it's a blessing to you. Hope it draws you closer to the Lord and time in prayer with Him. And prayer is work, in case you didn't know that. Prayer is work. Amen. And so stand if you're physically able. The Gospel of Luke, we'll read the first 13 verses. I'm sorry, chapter 11, thank you. That's probably important. There's a lot of chapters in Luke, amen? And Luke chapter number 11, in verses 1 through 13. And as is our custom, let's read responsively. I'll read the odd-numbered verses. Would you read the even-numbered verses with me through verse number 13? It says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed." This sounds like our house, amen. Our children are with us in bed, amen. "I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" Father, we pray for your blessing now upon your word. We pray that you would bless in our preaching time. Lord, that you would please have your hand upon this message. Lord, help each one of us, Lord, to examine our prayer time. May it not be rote and, Lord, just going through a list. Lord, may we truly desire to have fellowship with you and learn what you have to say on this subject, so important subject of prayer. We love you. We thank you for all that you give to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We've entitled this series and tonight's message, Sense and Nonsense About Prayer. Have you ever been forced to listen to yourself speak? Let me just tell you, folks. By the way, let me just give you this. The top 10 fears, according to the book of lists. Top 10 fears. Number 10, Jim Boston, you'll appreciate this. Dogs. Fear of dogs out on the bus calls. Amen. Oh, we've got this one out on Detroit Street. I'm telling you, I even shut the bus door when that dog comes out. Amen. Number 9, loneliness. That's a fear. Amen. Number 8, flying. Somebody said, are you afraid of flying? I said, no, I'm afraid of crashing. Amen. It's not the flying part. Amen. Number 7, death. People are, of course, afraid of death. Number 6, sickness. Number 5, deep water. Number 4, financial problems. Number 3, insects. And Miss Kim and I were talking about today, let's put spiders in there. Amen, Miss Kim. Any spider that shows itself to me is in danger of being squished. Sorry. Amen. I know you. Somebody will say, they eat a million bugs. Well, not if they get near me, they don't. Amen. Number 2, fear of heights. People are afraid of heights. Pastor Donald was hanging these banners up today, and I was glad it was him on the ladder. I was holding the ladder. But you know what number 1 is? Public speaking. I have been forced, and I have forced myself to listen to many of my messages. And every time I do, I think, you poor people. You poor people. You have had your 8th Amendment rights violated. And that is the amendment that prohibits cruel and unusual punishment. Amen. And I had one person one time early in my preaching come up to me and said, do you know that you said, you know, 58 times during that message? I listen, and of course, the reason any preacher listens to their messages is they want to try to improve, want to try to get better, want to try to have more command. But words are important, are they not? An author needed money, and he was contracted with a publisher, and so he got a hold of the publisher, and he said, how much advance will you pay me for my latest novel of 50,000 words? The publisher replied, how important are the words? Do you know what prayer is? Prayer is made up of words. Words. Prayers are made up of words. But how important are our words? Can I say this, ladies and gentlemen? There are many prayers that are just plain nonsense. I think about, if you've been saved any length of time, you've run into certain groups of quote-unquote Christians that pray unscriptural prayers. They seem to populate Christian television networks. God's given me a revelation. Watch out, as soon as you hear that. Amen? Watch out. Especially when it goes against this book. I got a word from the Lord. Me too. It's right here. Amen. This is all of it. Amen. So you'll hear people pray unscriptural prayers. Those are nonsense. Another one that's nonsense are selfish prayers. We just got done in James chapter 4, verse number 3. He says, ye ask and have not because you want to consume it upon your own lusts. Selfish prayers are nonsense. Prideful prayers. Remember the parable of the Pharisee and the publican? Yep. What did the Pharisee? Oh, I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men. I fast twice a week. And I give tithes. And I'm certainly not like that publican. I'm going to tell you what that is. That's nonsense prayers right there. That's nonsense. So they're prideful prayers, they're selfish prayers, they're unscriptural prayers. I want you to hold your place there in Luke. We're coming back there, but go over to Romans chapter 8. Tremendous verse on prayer, and I think a convicting verse. Romans chapter 8. It's not only convicting, but it's comforting. Verse 26. Of Romans chapter 8. Look what it says. It says, likewise, the Spirit, and by the way, the Holy Spirit is all over Romans chapter 8. All over. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. What's our infirmity? Or our infirmities? For we know not what? What we should pray for as we ought. There are times, forgive me, when we're praying wrong. How can any prayer be wrong? How about a Bible example? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. What did Paul say? I asked the Lord how many times? Three times. To take this thorn of the flesh. And what did God do? He corrected Paul, didn't he?
Yep, I agree.
He said, you're in God's way, he said, you're not praying properly. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. So God here corrects Paul's praying that Paul was asking for something that God was not going to do. What did Jesus say when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane? Not my will, but thy will be done. Here, the Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 8, verse 26, teaches us that we all have weaknesses in our praying. Be it sometimes it's our request is improper. Sometimes our phrasing of this request. Sometimes it's our motive for this request. For the Scripture there says, look at it right in the middle, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Well then, Pastor, since we don't know what we should pray for, then I guess we shouldn't pray at all then, right? Nonsense. That's nonsense. Nonsense. Why? Because God has given us a helper. Right there in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also what? Helpeth. He helps. You remember over in John when Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse number 7, he said, if I go not away, then the Comforter will not come. And then down in verse number 13 of John 16, he said that he would teach us, he would guide us into all truth. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, we need the Holy Spirit to help us with our prayers.
Amen.
Oh, sometimes if we get so mechanical in our prayers, we exclude the Holy Spirit. He's the only one that can do something with our prayers and help us. He desires to help us. I want to tell you, without the Holy Spirit, our prayers can be powerless. Powerless. Not going anywhere. The context back in Luke chapter 11, if you'd look there with me, it's very interesting there in verse number 1. It says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, that when he ceased, so here's the disciples and Jesus is praying in their presence. By the way, some of the biggest nonsense I've ever heard about prayer is you ought never to pray in public. I've heard Christians say that. And it baffles me. I think to myself, you do err not knowing the Scriptures. Do you know what Jesus did before he fed 5,000 men? And women and children. Do you know what he did? He prayed. He prayed. There's another time where he was going to raise Lazarus. And he prayed in public. And he actually said, Father, I know that thou hearest me always, but for the people. He prayed. That others would know. Elijah prayed in public. And so I think about that. I think, my goodness, what nonsense that is. The disciples had no doubt heard the Lord Jesus pray many times. Luke chapter 9 on the Mount of Transfiguration. Go back there, probably just a page. Luke chapter 9, verse 27. Luke 9, I think it's 27. Oh, verse 28, it says, and it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into the mountain to... And then it says, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered and his raiment was white and glistening. They had not only seen and heard Jesus pray, but according to the Scriptures, when Jesus prayed, God answered. God answered in measure. Father, I know that thou hearest me always. Why? Because Jesus was in perfect fellowship with God. And so they had heard him, and knowing what they had seen, they said to Jesus back in chapter 11 at the end of verse number 1, it said one of his disciples said unto him, now I don't know which one, the Bible doesn't record which one, I would venture a guess that it might be Peter, amen, because of Peter's impetuous nature, teach us to pray. Notice he doesn't say there, teach us how to pray. He says, teach us to pray. Let me, if I could, give you seven different items that we see in this chapter tonight. And I think we've talked about the nonsense of prayer. I think this will make sense to you. At least I hope it will. All the points start with P. And so if you're keeping an outline, I want you to notice, first of all, the preface of prayer. The preface of prayer. Many of you are readers, and many books have a preface, a kind of a thesis statement about them right in the beginning of the book. The preface of prayer is found in the sister passage here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Please let me read it to you. Jesus says, "But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." And there's so many promises in that verse, but I want you to notice what the preface is simply found in that phrase, "when thou prayest." What's the preface of prayer? The preface of prayer is it is scripturally assumed that one who is a child of God would want to have communion and will have communion with their Father. It doesn't say if thou prayest. It says when thou prayest. When thou prayest. I'll tell you what, if you don't develop a routine, and I don't mean this in the wrong way, but I mean a set time where you are going to pray, can I tell you what? You won't pray. Come on. Something's always going to come up. Something's always going to grab at your time. I've told Miss Kim so many times, I'll come in early in the morning and I'll get talking with her, Pastor Donald, we'll just be fellowshipping. And the next thing you know, I'll get right to the desk and start doing things. When what I really need to do is get right to the chair on my knees and have prayer. The preface of prayer is this: when thou prayest. It's scripturally assumed that a child of God would desire to communicate with their Father. You're in Luke chapter 11. Look at verse number 2. We see not only the preface of prayer, but we see the person of prayer. It says, "And he said unto them, when ye pray," right there again with the preface, "say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." Who is the person of prayer? Who are we talking to? Who are we bringing our requests to? We're bringing our requests to our Father. Our Father. Our Father. Now, again, this is not supporting the unscriptural theory that we're all the children of God. No, the Bible says in Galatians 3:26, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." But listen, ladies and gentlemen, the moment we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we got a heavenly Father. Amen? And you know what we're supposed to? We're supposed to call out to Him. We're supposed to. It says, "Our Father, where is He? Which art in heaven." That third heaven, that place that God inhabits, where the angels fly and cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. The earth is full of His glory. Which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." The longer I'm a Christian, the more it upsets me when somebody violates the third commandment, when they bang their finger. I've thought about this for years. How come they never say, "Oh, Buddha"? How come they never say, "Oh, Allah"? "Oh, Muhammad"? No, they use our Savior's name, don't they? In vain. Let me just tell you something about the name of God. It's hallowed. It's hallowed. Jehovah. Brother Tom's going to do his series on the King James Bible. Boy, when they wrote Jehovah, Brother Tom, they took that seriously. They took that seriously. Washed, changed, used a pen that had not been used before. Jehovah, His name. His name is hallowed. He's not Grandpa in the sky. He's not our old buddy. He's not the old man upstairs. His name is hallowed. Hallowed be Thy name. The person of prayer. It's our Father. The preface of prayer, when we pray. Number three, look at verse number two. Making sense out of prayer here. When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Number three, the purpose of prayer. The purpose. What is the purpose of prayer? To fulfill the will of God. Not so that we can just have things. Not so we can get all we can all that we get. It's to fulfill the will of God. You've got your place there in Luke. Hold it there. Go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter number 5. And throughout this series, we're going to be looking at different passages on prayer. And I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. This one is an important one. First John chapter 5, verse number 14. Look what it says there. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. By the way, there's a lot of confidence in this chapter if you go up just a verse. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may guess that you have eternal life. Is that what your Bible says? Hope? No. Confidence. Amen. In what God said in God's Word, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, He heareth us. Is that what your Bible says? That's exactly right. If we ask anything, what? According to His will. The purpose of prayer is for us to fulfill the will of God. What an amazing thing that God would allow us, just through prayer, to help fulfill His will. The purpose of prayer. Back to Luke chapter 11, if you would. The person of prayer, the preface of prayer. Number four, verse number three of Luke chapter 11. Give us day by day our daily bread. You know what I see there? The provision of prayer. The provision of prayer. I think sometimes in America, we miss this. Because God has been so good to us and blessed us. But I'll tell you what, you go back a couple generations when some of you were just children, you did pray for food. And God brought it in. By the way, there's no excuse not to still pray for food. God, please provide. Now, thank God He provides us jobs, gives us money to be able to buy food. But still, the provision of prayer is asking God to provide it to us. Provision of prayer. God does provide, and all God's people said. But He does it through prayer. He wants us to pray. He wants us to ask. I think when we become mothers and fathers, we realize this. We realize that we just want our children to ask. If I've got, heaven help us, at our house, it's macaroni and cheese. I think my kids are literally going to turn into macaroni and cheese one day. But if I've got a big bowl of macaroni and cheese and they're sitting down the other end of the table and they're just looking at me and I've got it right in front of me, what do they have to do? All they have to do is ask. Daddy, can I have some macaroni and cheese? Of course you can, buddy. Of course you can. Daddy, can I have my daily bread? Daddy, would you provide for me today? Well, of course. Why? Because the Bible says in Matthew 6:31 that our Heavenly Father knoweth that we have need of these things. So we have the preface of prayer. We have the person of prayer, the purpose of prayer, the provision of prayer. Oh, verse number four. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. You know what I see there? The pardon of prayer. The pardon of prayer. If you want to have daily fellowship with the Father, first of all, you're going to have to say, Father, please forgive me. Now, if you have arrived at a sinless state, I want to shake your hand. I want to have my picture taken with you. I'll post it on Facebook and all the other things online that you've reached the place of sinlessness because you're the first one since Jesus. Miss Marge and I were talking about it earlier. I like what the old preacher said. He said, I'm not sinless, but I strive to be sinning less. But you know what I have to do when I sin and fall flat on my face? I need to look up and say, Father, please, please forgive me. I'm preaching on Sunday. How did I get in the hog pen? And how do I get out? There's only one way out. Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. You know, when you repent, God always restores. What a blessing that is. Why do we carry that baggage of sin when God just wants us to put it down and restore us to a place where we were? What is that? The pardon. But then, not only do you have to ask for pardon, but you have to, in your heart, this is the hard one. As my friend John Hamlin says, swallow hard, you'll get it down. You've got to forgive others. See, the problem is, we want God to forgive us, but we're not willing to forgive others. That doesn't happen. God says, you're not going to have fellowship with me if, first of all, you don't ask for forgiveness, but you don't forgive others. Now, that's real easy until somebody hurts you. Come on, church, amen? That's real easy until somebody hurts you. God wants us to forgive. We see the pardon of prayer. Want to stay in daily fellowship with God? Ask for forgiveness and be forgiving. Vertical, horizontal. Vertical first. Amen? You and God. Listen, God, please forgive me. I was wrong. That thought was wrong. That way I spoke was wrong. That action was wrong. And then be willing to forgive others. Because you know what I found? I've offended people. Thank you for the no amens on that. I love you. Amen? But I have. I know I have. And you know what? If you'd be honest, you probably offended somebody too. We all need forgiveness. Amen? The pardon of prayer. Number 6, verse 4. Notice this. After we've been forgiven and we're willing to forgive, verse number 4 at the end says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What do I see there? I see the protection offered through prayer. That when we ask God, we say, God, please, lead me not into temptation. Help me, God, give me spiritual eyes to recognize those things that'll tempt me. And deliver us from evil. Deliver. So He's here in His protection because of prayer. We find Him leading and delivering. Isn't that wonderful? That our God will lead us. He'll lead us not into temptation. He'll lead us away from it if we ask, and protecting us, delivering us from evil. Let me give you the last thing tonight. Verses 5 through 10. Jesus tells a story. He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight? Now, by the way, that's a good friend right there. It better be. You come to the door at midnight, it better be a good friend. Amen. And said unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. I had another friend that's just as good as you, and I don't have anything. Would you please give me something to set before him? And he from within shall answer and say what we'd all say. Trouble me not. Go away. It's midnight. I'm tired. I got to be up in 4 hours. My children are asleep. And he goes on to say that. I cannot rise to give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his, such a great word, importunity. What does it mean? I have in the flyleaf of my Bible, constant bothering. Not in a bad way, in a good way. Constantly asking. And then, of course, he goes on. He says, he's not going to go away. It's midnight. He's saying, listen, I need help. I need something right now. I've got to have it. That man is at my door and he's hungry and he's waiting. Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Parents, you got a grasp of this? Mothers are beautiful creatures because after about five, mommy, 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 I'm about ready to literally tear my own head off. Mommy, 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 can I have a drink? Drink, drink, mommy, mommy, drink, drink. Mommy, can I have a drink? Mommy, 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 can I get a drink? Mommy, 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 get a drink, 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 drink. I'm telling you, she may do that because she's your child, but I'm telling you what it really is. It's the importunity. They keep asking and keep asking. What's the last thing, Pastor? The perseverance of prayer. Perseverance of prayer. By the way, another piece of nonsense when it comes to persevering in prayer is that God doesn't ever want us to use the same words. Now, it is true, especially those of us that are raised in a certain quote-unquote religion. God does not want us to use vain repetitions. But I'll tell you what it says about Jesus when he was in Gethsemane. He prayed the same words a third time. Some of you have been asking for that loved one to be saved for 20 and 30 and 40 years. You just keep asking. You keep asking. You keep asking. Why? Because this tells us of perseverance in prayer. Perseverance in prayer. Keep asking. You say, but it's hard, Pastor. It's hard when you don't see an answer. I'm closing with a story you've probably heard before about a man who bought a gold mine. And they had told him when he bought it, don't buy it. It's salted. It's old. There's nothing in there. They've been digging that out for years. They've gone as far as they're going to go. And he said, you know, I'm gonna go. And I'm going to dig at it. And I'm going to mine it out. And he mined it and mined it and mined it for years and years and years and years and years. And finally, you know what he said, Lemmer? He said, I've had enough. Enough. And he stopped. Somebody bought it and dug 3 feet deeper and found one of the richest veins of gold that's ever been discovered. Listen, don't pray for 20 years and quit. Keep praying. You say, I already quit on something. Start again. Start again. Start again. Why? Because we're to persevere in prayer. We're to persevere in prayer. What's the sense about prayer? Well, the preface of prayer. When thou prayest. We're all supposed to pray. Right. Amen. Whatever your time is. Maybe your time may be early. I think early is better. Before the chaos of the day. Them that seek me early shall find me. Proverbs says. But whenever it is. I remember when I used to drive to work when I first got saved. Had a 40-minute drive to work. 40 minutes. And I would talk to my Lord like he was sitting right there in the passenger seat. That was my prayer time. I didn't close my eyes. Amen? I didn't close my eyes. Whatever your time is, pray. Let's not talk about praying. Let's pray. Amen? So the preface of prayer, the person of prayer. Who are we praying to? We're praying to our Father. The purpose of prayer, to fulfill the will of God. The provision of prayer, give us this day our daily bread. The pardon of prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who are indebted to us. The protection of prayer, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then the perseverance of prayer. He will not answer him because he's his friend, but he will answer because he keeps on asking. Him that asketh, receiveth. Him that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. It's okay to bug God. It's okay to bug Him. He told us to. Keep bothering and bothering and bothering. By the way, you're not bothering Him. He desires to hear from you. Sense and nonsense about prayer. Father, we pray that You'd bless now as we go into our prayer time.